Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.
Welcome to The Wave Podcast. I am Danny Ortiz.
This is Michael Redd.
What's good, brother,
in the hood?
Man, we are in this to win it, man. I just know we just finished talking. It's hard to transition from we have some long weekends, you and I, this last couple of weekends. We've been traveling. How are you feeling? How's your body and everything feeling through the travel? Good?
Tired. This is why this has been a good week to rest a little bit, take care of the body, a little bit of self-care. We've been really, really in it with this whole AAU program.
Yes.
Just I'm really excited about helping these kids, realize their dreams through basketball. And so we've been on the road the last 2 weeks, and it's been quite the endeavor. And, you know, we've kind of been all over the country with these kids and parents. And so it's been fun. So glad to have a week back home. Glad to get back on the podcast with you to dig into the podcast again. And I know our audience has missed the last few weeks of us sharing, but we're excited to be back today.
Yeah, folks have texted me and asked me to say, hey, am I missing something? I'm like, no, you're good. We got one coming up. To go back to your point with this basketball thing that we're doing, it is fully a ministry to us. And I hate even using that word. Let's just say we've been called by God to serve these young people, serve their families, serve our coaches. And it's been wonderful to see already. As we've been journeying with these folks for this past few months, lives being changed and touched. It's always a Jesus thing, and it's always imaging Jesus, and it's always having people be filled with the light of Christ that's inside of us. And we've seen it everywhere we've gone, where folks are being impacted, because as the kingdom is released, men begin to start pressing in it. And we've been seeing it firsthand, people pressing into the kingdom, wanting to know more about Jesus, wanting to know more about God. And just really, we were talking the other day with a young lady on a plane about presence of God. I mean, just to be able to talk everywhere you go about the presence of the Lord is so powerful and so needed. You know, we were talking in the car how this atmosphere is calling for fathers to stand up and father people in the spirit. And you don't have to call yourself a father. You don't have to go around. But the heart of the Father, when you are going after the Father, when you're seeking His face every day and you get in His heart will be reflected in your heart, and people will be touched by the heart of the Father.
Amen. Amen. Nothing really to add to that. It's been quite the journey the last couple of weeks. You're right. The prism of how we see people definitely is changed by the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit being so activated. You just don't see things the way everyone else sees it. And you don't see circumstances or see people the same way when the Holy Spirit is in activation in your life. And so, yeah, it's been that type of trip the last week or so. And it's been fun to see, as always.
I do want to say this. I told you the other day, I've had a song in my heart. Before we get into the ear thing, because I got so many hits on this ear thing. Oh my goodness. It's been wild. That's why I told you had to talk about the hearing. Last time we left the podcast. And if you haven't heard the last podcast, first of all, this is the 200th podcast. So amen that God has allowed us to speak about His goodness and His word and who He is in us and what He's doing in our lives for 200 episodes. The last
don't skip over that. Let me congratulate you for holding it down over these 200 episodes, man. Your commitment, steadfastness to doing this podcast has been remarkable. And I've been fortunate enough to be on the journey with you for a portion of it. I want to thank Ryan for obviously his contribution to the podcast over the time as well. And we look to expand in the near future with other guests, but I can't thank you enough for being an anchor of this podcast the last maybe 3.5 years now, I guess. So
it's
been special.
You know, I appreciate that. Thank you for being a part. Thank you, Ryan, and all the guests that we've had. We've had a lot of guests on this podcast. I'm thinking some from Israel, Rabbi Tuli. I'm thinking about Jeremy from Israel, Dr. Clementine. There's many, many other folks that have been able to speak to our folks. My brother Angel was on this podcast at one time too. So appreciate all the guests that we've had. To me, it's just fun. You know, you and I were in Nashville and someone was telling us, ain't this fun? And I think those words ring true to me right now. It's fun to be able to get on this podcast and get with a group of a community of people. I met with somebody the other day and he told me, he said, Danny, everyone I know, I give, and he knows who I'm talking about, Tommy. I met with Tommy the other day. Tommy was like, I'm giving everybody the podcast. Everybody's listening to the podcast. And I said, Tommy, what a blessing it is that people allow us to, you and I, especially the last year, to just explore these things and sometimes try to find, you know, a base of solidifying ourselves in it, but also staying pliable to change, you know, but and sometimes leaving it open-ended. Like, we think this is it, but it may not be at all. And the opportunity that the folks have given us and the journey that they've been with us to just journey this thing and just being able to explore, ask questions, ask hard questions, deal with hard topics, has been a blessing for me. And it's a wonderful journey. And we're not done, like you said. But in the last couple of days, I've been hearing the song, Let the Church Rise for These Ashes. And I want to read something, and I want to get your take on it, Doc. I know we're going to talk about the ear, because we're going to go into the ear thing. Because somebody told me the other day, bro, this is the ear thing. You guys left us with more, because there's more. So this might be a two-episode podcast, I already know, because we're going to talk about hearing. We're gonna hit the topic of, you know, Jesus is always saying, he that has an ear, let him hear, and how to hear God. So we're gonna get into that. But before we get into that, I want to read something, which is Ephesians 1:19-23, just because it's on my heart right now. And that's what we do. We just change things up. But this church arising situation. So this just keep on being my heart. And I know when the Lord does that to us, he's impressing something in us. And so I was singing it the other day, the last 3 days. And then he's like, no, do you understand? I'm arising my church. And I'm arising my body, and the earth will be full of who I am and my imagery. And it was just such a wonderful time with the Holy Spirit. But I want to read Ephesians 1:19-23. Ephesians 1:19-23. And love to get your take on it, Doctor. Ephesians 1:19-23 says, what is the boundless greatness of his meaning God's here, power towards us who believe? There is, in accordance with the working of the strength of his, God's might, which he, God, brought about in Christ. When he raised him, so he being God, raised him, Jesus, from the dead, seated him at his right hand and in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so as we're talking about hearing today and hearing God, it's hearing the Lord in these times. Right now, everything looks crazy. And then the Holy Spirit out of nowhere, I'm arising my body. I'm arising my church. I'm arising my ecclesia. We have to have ears to hear and then begin to start declaring. So I'm putting into action what we're going to be talking about. You have to have an ear to hear. And then when he speaks, declare it, begin to start declaring the word of the Lord. So I know, because you hear so much about the church. There's so much about the church on all sides. I was hearing it on the plane talking to somebody about the church. I mean, I was hearing it on the ground. I was hearing it while I was in a hotel talking to somebody about the church. Man, the church is not. But we hear what Mike and I call the pseudo church. It's not the real church, or what I call the American gospel or the American church, right? And it's not the true ecclesia. But there is a true ecclesia that God is arising that will have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, demonstrate through it, and they're going to image Jesus. Now, let me keep on. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the one to come. I think there's a whole podcast, Mike, we got to do on the ages, because we don't even understand God deals with ages. Not only in this age, but the age to come, And he put all things, so he, God, put all things in subjection under his feet. Under whose feet? Jesus' feet. God put everything in this age, the ages to come, under the feet of Jesus. And he made him, meaning Jesus, head over all things to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the head of the ecclesia, which is what? He explains what the church is. His body, his reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Not only his body, so the ecclesia, Jesus' body, he says, my body, which is my ecclesia, will do what? The fullness of him will, who fills all in all. Meaning, everything needs to be filled with Jesus. And one of the tools that he uses to fill everything with him is his body, his true ecclesia, his true image bearers. So with all the discouraging thoughts about church and all the deconstruction that I think need to happen, right? We call it deprogramming. For years, people call it deconstruction now. Whatever you want to call it. People are awakening, the Holy Spirit is awakening us to the lie of man, but he's also awakening us to the truth of who he is. And when he awakens you to the truth who he is, you are part of his body. And you, with his body, with the ecclesia, will image him on earth.
Mm-hmm.
The earth will see Jesus through his body. And so I just want to encourage you, the ecclesia is arising. We are arising by podcasts like this that are getting revelation of the God conscience, that are putting the understanding of surrendering to our will and to ourselves and allowing the image of Jesus flowing out of us.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get discouraged. When you are in a place that you need to move on from that place. If you need to stay, stay. Don't get discouraged. Know that the body at large, the ecclesia, which is bigger than just the 4% that live in America, the global body of Christ, the billions of people that represent his name, that represent his image, that are walking image bearers of who he is, will shine in this hour.
I don't have anything else to add to that. I think it was something that was on your heart that I think needed to be heard. Again, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And so we all need to take heed to what you just shared, which is so vitally important. I'm not a fan of the word deconstruct, personally.
Yeah.
I know you don't like that word. I don't like I like the word deprogram, because I can deconstruct something with the same mindset and create something that has the same spirit and same mindset behind it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No.
You can reconstruct something with the same mindset compared to...
100%. You live religion and you think your religion is better, and it's religion also.
100%.
You create your own following of religion because you think you're right.
I think there has to be a mind shift, a God consciousness that has to settle in, a deprogramming of what I thought, what Christianity is, and what I thought the church is, to your point. So I think that needs to transpire more than anything. Even in the buzzwords of deconstruction, I think there still needs to be a time of deprogramming, an update of software, per se, of the way I think, right? And so that's kind of where I am, and that's what I hear when I hear you share that, man.
Yeah, and there's an awakening happening, I know, more than ever, where people are becoming God conscious, and they're going,
yeah,
man, you know what? And a lot of it is through the word. A lot of it is the Holy Spirit awakening inside their spirit and going, oh, I've felt this for years. Mm. I just need to act on it. Because there's many people that feel it. There are many people that hear it. The spirit man is crying. But you also have to obey. So we're going to hit on the hearing part. But there's an obeying part that has to happen, you know?
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say this, that cuts you off. But like, I think in modern day Christianity, we have focused so much on what Jesus taught, and we're disconnected and we've dismissed on what he did.
Yeah.
He did what he taught, and he taught what he did. And so 100%. We've got to be able to manifest what he did, right? It wasn't just parables that he shared, but he demonstrated power. It wasn't just the principle, but it's power.
Yeah.
right? And I think that's the evidence, right? In conjunction, principle in conjunction with power. They're married, right? And I think we focus too much on the letter and not the spirit, right? And the spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in demonstration, which is why there's such a frustration with the institutional church, because there's no power, I believe, consistently demonstrated through that whole institution. And so, you know, the earth is groaning and travailing for the messengers of the sons of God. The power of the Spirit of God is what they're groaning for.
Yeah. I hear you saying it, and this is what I hear, because I was talking to Jay the other day, and this is what came out. Like, people's voices are louder than the experiences. And so everybody's trying to say something, but what you're saying is, like, once you hear it, you can talk, but you better experience it. There's got to be an experience behind it. And there's so many people that talk past the experiences. They haven't experienced it. They don't know it. They haven't told it. But from the intellectual point of view, they want to disseminate it. But what Jesus did was actually live it. He was the living word, right? Again, when he heard the Father speak to him, he just he submitted to that word. And so he was able to live that word out. So he was able to hear, heal, right? Always when you hear, he proclaimed. But once he was proclaiming, people were healed, delivered, set free.
Yeah, I think it's a huge mistake to study the message and avoid what his miracles said. His miracles have language, right?
Yeah.
And I think we've dismissed that, what he did. There's a disconnection between us studying the message of the scriptures compared to actually demonstrating the message of the scriptures. So the church is rising. The church is rising. The ecclesia is rising. And with that comes demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost,
which the earth is waiting for.
Yeah, 100%.
And declaring for and wanting. But the church is not mature too, right? So they got the aspect of maturity. Because maturity is the doing, right? The maturity is I'm obeying and walking this thing out. Jesus, as the mature elder brother, knew how to demonstrate heaven, knew how to bring That's heaven it. On earth, knew how to look That's like it. Heaven, knew how to do the feedings of the 5,000, and knew how to open up the blinded eyes, and walking in that. And again, however way the Holy Spirit's going to use you, because you're just imaging Jesus. Now we can get into so many.
The miracle validated his message.
Of course, let him know that he was the son.
Yeah, the miracle is validating. You can share all day long, but are you demonstrating?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. People's voices are louder than their experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, they talking. There's a lot of talking heads. And we were talking about this a little bit in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talking heads, but who is demonstrating, right? And I think in what we were talking about, this, who's demonstrating the spirit? So let's say if you never do a miracle through your life, can you demonstrate the spirit of love, gentleness, right? Just allowing the Holy Spirit to work you through you, through self-control and things that the word talks about that describes the spirit and how the spirit will operate on earth.
I would argue to say that me loving you supernaturally is a miracle.
100%.
That's a miracle.
Yeah.
To love beyond you betraying me, to love you when you hate me, that's a miracle.
100%. No, that's what
everybody listens to. Yeah,
that's a miracle. I wanted to hit
You're not
that.
Exclusive.
Because I think sometimes we look at miracles as the blinded eyes. But the miracles could be, man, blessed are those when they persecute you or when they hurt you or they devour you, that you love them, that you do for them. When they ask you for your coat, your shirt, you give them your coat, right? All these things that Jesus will be like, man, that's Jesus. I'm not there yet. Well, that's what the world needs, a demonstration of Jesus. They're looking for his body to be touched. You know, Doubt and Thomas touched his body. But people call him Doubt and Thomas. He just want to be sure that it was him. I think it was a faith walk that Thomas. The earth is like Thomas, man. Can I just touch you, man? Can I just see, right? And Jesus is available to be touched. And he wants to be available through us so that the world can be touched through the imaging of who we are.
Yeah. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that. I totally agree.
So talk to us about this ear thing that you talked to us the last time when we were on the podcast, and I had to just cut it off because it was so much. You said the embryo is shaped as an ear.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, you know, we didn't go into it much, but what a powerful thought. But again, I know you were saying it from the premise of us hearing. Like, God made us with two ears and one mouth. And I know people say that all the time, but not many of us are in the posture of hearing, right?
That's right.
And walk in the posture of hearing, right? So we know Jesus, I'll say this, Jesus constantly, and I'll send you a whole bunch of scriptures on this, like he was constantly saying, he that has an ear, let them hear. Right? He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, he's not talking about natural hearing there. Because we know in Revelation, it says he takes it, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, right? To the ecclesia. But he is talking about attentiveness or receptiveness. Are you able to receive or be attentive to the Spirit? Are you able to have discernment or spiritual understanding of the times or what you're walking? Yeah. So there's an attentiveness and a receptiveness that he's talking about. Like, can you receive what the Spirit is telling you? Can you discern spiritual things, right? Because you constantly quote it, right? Where Paul says, I don't come with persuasive word, but I come with demonstration power. He's talking about hearing, but he's not just talking about hearing. So God made us to hear, but not only hear in this natural world, he made us to hear in the spiritual world.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say this practically, man, that hearing is so paramount for the times that we're living in, man. It really is. It's paramount. I think one of the things that we're seeing, Danny, across the world is that people have to understand or become awakened to the fact that they have to be able to sharpen their ability to hear in order to avoid danger or calamity, right? And it's pivotal, and we're seeing it all around the world. And I would say this personally, and I don't know if my phone's working. But I would say this personally, and I think you would agree with me when I say this, that hearing probably from God is the most important skill that we could ever develop in our life.
1,000%.
Hearing from God, I'm going to say that again. Hearing from God is the most important skill that you could ever develop in your life. It's more important than reading.
Yeah.
I believe it's more important than writing.
Well,
it's the most essential thing.
Can I throw out this out? Because you're saying this. Let me cut you off. Because a blind man and a blind man and a deaf man can still hear God.
Yeah.
So to your, to your point, as it is the most important thing.
I agree.
Because we're not talking about natural eyes and natural ears. We're talking about the Spirit that the Lord has developed us to hear the Spirit within the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. It, hearing from God, to me, is the key to all of our successes and our journeys.
Yeah.
Right. And what we don't realize and we're not awakened to often is that it's part of our heritage to be able to hear.
Yeah.
It's part of when you receive the Holy Spirit, you have the ability, because the veil is ripped, to have access to God, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. You have access to all of them, three in one. You have access to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. What happens is, and what is happening is that we're not sharpening our ability to hear. And I'm going to get into some of the reasons why that is happening.
Go ahead again, because I just wrote it down.
Well,
yeah. I just wrote it down. Why do people not hear? Why do people not hear? Why do people not hear? Why are people having a hard time hearing?
I think there's a lot of foreskin on our hearing, man. There's there's scripture for this too. I'm going to get to this in a second, but I think there's a lot of foreskin on our hearing. When you go through trauma, and when you go through calamity, and when you go through trials, there's a hardening that begins to cover your hearing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that ear needs to be circumcised. It needs to be circumcised with the trauma, the trials, and the calamities that have happened in your life. And we go through so much in life, right? And then I'll throw this in there as well. Religious institutionals, how can I say this? Religious institutions has also traumatized our hearing as well, Danny.
Yeah.
Right? The religious systems, right, have traumatized our hearing. And so the combination of life, calamity, struggle, challenges has hardened our ears in combination with religion. And so what has happened is I believe our ears are traumatized. And so we're no longer having the ability to be able to hear. And I would also throw in the sin of presumption. Is why we tend to assume a lot. And I'm going to get into that as well in the book of Samuel. And so me, you and I have discovered this, that the Logos brings validation to the Rhema. There's a lot of things that people are saying that God said to them that's not even found in the scriptures.
Yeah.
So there has to be a reevaluation of what we're hearing, our ability to hear, and then what we're hearing. There's two different things.
Yeah.
People are having a hard time hearing, and then along with that, having a hard time interpreting what's been said. Because you can misinterpret what's being said because of the many voices, to your point. And so I think those are some of the reasons why we're having a hard time hearing. Back to what I was saying, hard times and calamity, right, can create a hardening over your ear, a covering, a foreskin over your ear that needs to be circumcised.
I'll give one reason. All those reasons are valid, 100%. The one I see, and I tell you, we're going to cover Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, with the little boy and Eli's story. The first thing, I agree 100%. The one word that hits me when you're saying all that is the word surrender. Surrender. You know, as I read the story of Eli and as I read the story of Samuel and him, you know, this back and forth of wrestling on whether hearing, you know, to me, the why behind people not hearing is are we fully surrendered to who's speaking to us? Now, that's a heart issue, right? Or is God dealing with your heart to fully surrender, right? And I think once we get into a place of full surrender, and we'll read it here with Samuel when, you know, he asks, you know, Eli told him, you know, just go and tell him, basically fully surrender to what's happening at the moment. Samuel was able to hear the voice of God. But I think fully surrendering and walking in a life of surrender, if we do not surrender, we can't hear. And so whatever, I'll just say that if we're not fully surrendered, we partially hear, and sometimes we move on partially hearing and not hearing the whole thing, or hearing what God is really saying, or we go with the flesh because we're not surrendering to the Spirit. We're not surrendering to what the Spirit is asking to do.
I think you're right. It's all encompassing, you know. I can have a surrendered heart and still miss God. And I think it's okay to say that, right? There's this misconception that I can't never miss hearing the voice of God. There is times where I've missed that, where I thought it was God and it wasn't God, right? And it's okay to share that. And I think when you talk about surrendering and I think that is a consequence of the presence of the Lord. You know, when you talk about the heart being regenerated, that can only happen in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. You're about to share a little bit about Eli and Samuel, but I got a scripture behind that even about the Ark of the Covenant. You'll talk more about that. I've talked to this for years about Eli being a father to Samuel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But could not hear. Right. Samuel could hear the voice that Eli couldn't hear. Go ahead and share a little bit about that, man.
First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days, and the vision was infrequent. So the Lord was, it was rare God speaking in those days, and the vision was frequent. But it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to be poor, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called out Samuel and said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you." So here Samuel is hearing a voice, and he's thinking it's Eli. But Eli says, "Not me. I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again to Samuel. So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call my son. Go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. He had not gotten the revelation of hearing God yet. So the Lord called to Samuel again the third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord.'" Again, this is the sign of surrender, "for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and laid down in the place, and the Lord came and stood and called as the Lord other times, "Samuel, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel," said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said, "Behold, I am going to do a thing in Israel, and both ears of everyone who hears about it will ring." Now, this is an inferior covenant. This is before Christ. This is before Christ has, and I mean, Christ has always been, but before Jesus' death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit then given by Jesus to be a bearer of his image on earth. This is before that. And God was speaking. God was speaking.
Yes. Now,
folks were not listening. Now, we can go into Eli's background, why he was doing what he was doing in the presence of God, what he was doing with his sons, and how he mishandled the voice of God. But one thing he did realize is that God is not speaking to me, but he's speaking to you, right? And then he was teaching the son, if you surrender to the voice got something for you. He knew it was God. Mm-hmm. So it's glaring to know that Eli, the hearing of God was being dimmed to him, but he realized that God was speaking to someone else.
Yeah.
And so the fact that this is in inferior covenant, how much more is God still speaking today? And how much of us are not just, "Talk to me, whatever you have to say, I'm here."
And the key was Samuel was laying next to the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
So his hearing was sharpened because of his proximity to the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So my ears and my eyes will always be sharpened as long as I stay in the glory of God, the presence of God. The God conscious keeps my eyes and my ears sharpened. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 13, you'll discover where Eli had a hard time hearing Hannah.
Yeah.
And this is the sin of presumption, right? The Bible says that now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. He presumed that she was drunk. Here we go again. So it's not enough to just hear what's being said, but you have to be able to be in tune enough to be able to interpret what's being said.
Yeah.
So this goes back before even Samuel's born. Eli having a hard time hearing and interpreting. And he's a high priest. And there's significance about him being a high priest and how God communicated to the high priest.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, no matter your stature, no matter how much you say you've been in God, and no matter how many ordinations you've been through and what your titles are, there's a responsibility on all of us to be able to hear the heart of God and then begin to interpret what he's saying. And so Eli obviously had a difficult time throughout his time hearing the heart of God. And so what we got to do continually, Danny, is to sharpen ourselves by being in the presence of the Lord. That's why worship is so important. That's why the presence of the Lord is so critical, D. It's critical. Yeah. because I my sentence become my senses become heightened. My sensitivity becomes heightened. My ears are attuned because I'm in the presence of the King. I'm in the presence of the Lord. And so that has to be our hallmark going forward.
And I love that he was resting, right? That's a powerful thought.
Laying
that
down.
He was laying down and resting in the presence of God.
Yeah.
We were talking about this when we were out traveling, you know. When it comes to the things of the Lord, he can calm any storm, man. And you can be busy all day long and doing all this, but when it comes to the things of God, man, it's just you settled into that. But it's a place of rest that we can enter. You know, how do we hear God? You know, we talked about why we're not hearing, but how do we hear it? You hit it on the head, like surrender. You talked about the presence of God, resting, right? There's many ways that God wants to speak to us, but I think this thing of rest and resting in the presence of God, spending hours in the presence of God, doing what Jesus did, right? Early in the morning, Mark 1:35, early in the morning, before the sunrise, he's praying the time in the presence of the Lord, right? John 8, spending all night long with God, just spending time with God. And resting in the presence of the Lord is a lost art because we think we have to do 100%. I got to do it for God. The things of God have to be left to God. The things of God have to be left to God. There's some things that you cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think people realize this. I think people realize that they're not God, though they have choice. See, choice gives you an illusion that you're in a God. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Choice gives you an illusion that you're God. Because you think you're God, because I could choose whatever I want to do. One thing you can't choose is death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
death is a real sign to show you that you're not God, right? Because it shows you that there's now, again, when we get into the spirit and there's life, don't kick me out the pockets. We got to get to the point where under an inferior covenant, if Enoch could live forever, right? And we now have the spirit, which is life forever. Like we can't even think that way because we're not spirit. We're not knocked in the spirit that I can live forever because I'm spiritual. I'm eternal, right? We haven't even looked to get into those realms of level of God consciousness because we're so limited to our flesh and to this thing that makes us feel like we're God, right? It makes you feel like you can do whatever you want to do. And it's like, no. You're not understanding that you're not God. And so just because you have the choice, we think we can do things that God can do. And there's some things that you cannot do unless you are attached to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so opening somebody, so we can do preaching, but you can't open somebody's eyes.
Come on.
We can do teaching, but we can't lift somebody off a wheelchair.
Come on.
Now, what we've been having is false prophets and false evangelists and folks telling people things in the ears, you know what I mean? And having folks that are not really in wheelchairs get up, and that can be all great and dandy. But if you are walking in what Jesus is walking, then one of the first places I'm going to invite you to is the hospital down the road, because that means we can clear that hospital. See, we need to be honest with ourselves and knowing that we're not hearing God. So we're not manifesting the way we're capable of manifesting heaven on earth. We're not imaging with the capability that God has given us to image on earth. And again, everything we're reading from the Old Testament, I'm going to continue to say this, under inferior covenant. So here Eli's having a problem because I love what you're saying, he's assuming something for Hannah, so he's missing it. He's assuming something for Hannah, and not even dealing with his own sons that are acting crazy in the temple of God. Because his sons are acting crazy, he's trying to tell Hannah what to do, but he can't tell his sons what to do. God rebukes him because of his sons being wilding out, doing sexual things, eating the bread that they're supposed to eat, asking for money in the door of the temple. Like, they're doing wilding out as priests. And so here God's like, you know what? You're not getting it. So I'm going to transfer my voice to the child that you did not even understand what I was doing with Samuel. Now, Samuel's, thank God that Hannah prayed him out. Thank God that Hannah heard from the Lord. You're going to have a child, and this is what he's going to do, and he's going to be mine. And so she gave him to the temple. And Samuel, resting in the presence of God, was able to hear so that he can speak to the men of God that are coming.
Yeah.
So remember, Samuel's being prepared to be a voice of God for those who are going to reign before.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He's preparing the ground, the spiritual ground for the kings to reign, right? The prophetic always prepares the ground for the apostolic to do what the apostolic needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one of the things that we got to get into is because I want to get to the how, you know. Number one, surrendering. You're not God. Fully surrendered. Fully understand that. Yeah, God, I'm yours. Resting in the presence of God. I want to stay there. I got some other things here, man, but I want to stay in the resting in the presence of God. We do not rest in God's presence long enough. We don't, I'm telling you, so I know this because we this many times that we prayed with folks, we go on and vote, and man, you know you've been in the presence when time is no longer valued. But I've been in some times with Mike and I, you and I, we've been in some times with some folks that they're still looking at the watch and we like, but we don't even know that it was 2 hours. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But we were in the same room. How could five people over here be locked in, lose track of time, and 20 people over here wondering what time this thing is going to be over?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not present, right? And I think there's so much to that. You probably need to hear that the podcast to understand the past, present, and the future, and time, space, and continuum to understand what we just mentioned. But I think there is something to be said about how Hannah had a heart to dedicate her son, to surrender her son to God.
Yeah.
Which gave her the ability to hear. You mentioned surrender. From the very inception of her son, or even before he was even conceived, she was committed to surrendering.
Yeah.
And her commitment to surrendering allowed her to be able to hear and to be able to usher in this prophetic juggernaut that would change the course of the Israel. Now notice this. Peninnah's sons are never mentioned.
Never.
She had multiple children, but none of her children are remembered. The only child that is remembered in this text is Hannah's son.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think there's something to be said about, to your point, having a heart that's surrendered, that has a heart that's committed to surrendering everything over to the Lord. And then with that, I receive everything in return. And so I think, to your point, patience, back to your point about resting and patience and living in the presence of the Lord, I think that is such a valid thing that we need to continue to practice. We call it devotion, or we used to call it devotion. You can call it meditation, right? Devotion into the presence of the Lord, which I still say, I still believe. Our devotional lives are crippled because we are so distracted by different outlets and different platforms and the internet, social media, and YouTube. And like, so our devotions are cracked and fractured at its foundation.
Come on.
And so we don't have time to meditate because our minds are here and there and everywhere, always worried about the future. We don't have time to be present, to answer your question earlier, right? And so we've got to be able to discipline ourselves and submit ourselves to being present and having time with the Lord exclusively. He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him.
Come on, man.
We're fragile and we're all over the place because our minds are not stayed on him. But that being stayed on him comes from a place of meditation and devotion, right? Go into your closet, Danny. Close the door behind you, right? So those things are so necessary into our development of hearing. Yeah. But go ahead. You want to say something?
No, you're 100% correct. And again, take the motto of David, Psalms, early in the morning when I rise up. And take Jesus's motto, early in the morning did he rise up, right? You know, I'm just going to go practical, and then I want to read a little bit, and then we'll close out. We're going to read a little bit because I want to go into next week, like, how do we hear? Like we talk, like the two things we're talking about right now is resting and surrendering, right? Surrendering and resting, right? Resting. You said so powerful. The presence of God. I love that he was laying down. And so we're going to go into that. But the practical is like, you know, if you have a busy day, which, you know, you and I, this weekends are like busy. Like it was like all day long. Like wake up early. Like don't like make the appointment to be with Jesus. Now, it could be anytime. It could be anytime. But I'm just encouraging. If you have a hard time spending time with the Lord, it could be in your car. It could be an hour here. It could be 2 hours. It could be wherever. Make it a point to like, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. You cannot image him past your devotion. You can't. You can't image him past you spending time with his presence. You can't. And people want to perform. Thank you, Lord. So in Mark 1:35, just go read it whenever you get a chance. Jesus is praying all night long. By 9 o'clock in the morning, he's healing. So they think that he's just healing. Well, he's healing because he's spending time in the presence of God, and that's flowing out of him, mm-hmm. right? What's flowing out of him is the thing that he's, if you marinate a chicken, and whatever you marinate is going to taste like, right? If you marinate, this is the vegan talking here, if you marinate a steak with lemon, it's going to taste like lemon, right? If you marinate yourself in the presence of God, what's going to flow out of you is Yeshua. And here he's spending so much time with the Father so that what? He can now have the aroma of heaven everywhere he goes. Have the aroma of heaven. Go to 1 Samuel whenever you get a chance. We don't have a chance to read it here, but read the story of Hannah and read how she hears from God. See, worship. I just got to read verse 19. Then they got up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah and her relationships with Hannah, his wife. And the Lord remembered her. And it came about due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Then Elkanah went up with all the household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice to pay his vows. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go unto the child's womb. Then I will bring him so that he may appear before the Lord and stay there for life. Imagine that your mom birthed you in prayer, and her call for you to heaven is for life. He will be in the presence of God.
That's it.
Jesus, have mercy.
That's it.
For life, you stay in the presence of God.
That's it.
I just had to read that. That just blessed my heart.
That was the source of the ability of Samuel. He was birthed in a state of surrender in the presence of the Lord, which gave him the ability to be able to see the way he was able to see it. So, yeah, you know, Nick, I mean, there's a lot of things that we're going to tackle in the next podcast. I'm going to get back to some thoughts I had early on as far as the uncircumcised ear.
Yeah.
I think we really challenge ourselves in that regard. And so we'll continue this in the next podcast.
Yeah, we're going to get into some stuff next week. We're going to get into some key things. I want to talk a little bit about obedience. That's that lends to hearing God. We love you guys. Thank you for this journey, man. 200 episode. And it's funny because we're always going to go back to presence, surrender, going after it.
That's it. It all culminates into that.
It's always going to go back to that.
We're going to spin it a million ways, but it's always going to culminate back into the presence of the Lord. Yes. And within that dynamic, I'm dying to the flesh so that the God conscious can live.
Come on. So that we love you guys. Can live. Yeah, come on.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from The Wave Ministries. Visit thewavecolumbus.com for more information.